You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We had a chance to talk to the Colts today, and that included Shane Steichen, the coach of the Colts. And I really liked what he had to say. And more importantly, I liked the way he said it. I liked the way the members of his team who spoke to the media spoke, because they're not trying to win with words. The Colts had been a team over the past 7, 8, 9 years who have really tried to win through the media and through kind of handling the media and building reasons for optimism and doing it very heavy-handedly. This was not that. This is a different thing. This is a quietly confident group of guys who know that the time is now, and I dug it. We're going to talk about it. We'll also talk about Umar Ballo, who's coming to Indiana. He committed this afternoon to Indiana, and that is a really, really good thing, I think, right? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the efficacy of building a team through buying a team, kind of the opposite of what the Colts do. The Colts don't go outside their family to lavish wealth upon others. Indiana can't wait to spend NIL money to go get others. And the players from others, and they're going to continue to do it. And I'm okay with it because that's the way the game is played right now. But we're going to talk about that and whether it's going to bear fruit in the end, because that's the important thing. Winning in April during the transfer portal season isn't important. Winning in November, December, January, February, March, and then early April, that's what's important. Are these guys going to be able to bring home the bacon for Hoosier fans who so richly deserve a little bit of good among a whole lot of mediocre over the last few years? That's what we're going to talk about in terms of Indiana basketball. Indiana football, they got their spring game on Thursday, but they have been played out of the back pages of the sports section by Umar Ballo and his commitment to the Hoosiers. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. Look, you use the promo code Kent. That's all you got to do. You go to MyBookie, use the promo code Kent, and you're going to win before you even play. Before any of the action, you put a few ducats on. Know what? You're winning because by using the promo code Kent, you unlock the potential of a $1,000 sign-up bonus. How about that? Like I said, that's winning before the action starts. Awesome. Want to make sure that you... Oh, by the way, I got our lads draft guide this afternoon in the mail, and I can't wait to dig in. I've gone through the electronic version, very, very cool, 120 pages in this book. And where it really comes into importance, I think, is once the Colts draft in 9 days, you look at the Arlads guide, you look at other draft guides, potentially, you try to figure out exactly what the Colts got as they exercise their 7 picks. We'll talk about those 7 picks. What are the odds that Chris Ballard's going to trade up? What are the odds he's going to trade down? What are the odds he's going to stay at 15? We will tell you what's going to determine, and it's pretty damn logical. I mean, I think you can figure it out. What will determine the course of action for Chris Ballard, Ed Dotts, Morocco Brown, all the guys in the Colts front office. You want to make a donation? Make a donation. It's a wonderful thing to do. Include a comment or a question. We'll share it with the class. And, of course, you hit the like button. Like always, that's what you do for every video, I hope, that you watch on YouTube. Hit that like button. All right, let's talk about the Colts. Let's talk about sports. Let's talk about the Hoosiers. Listen to Shane Steichen today, and I posted Shane's entire deal, his entire media availability on this YouTube channel, shared it everywhere. And you watch Shane Steichen this year, there's a difference in his performance level this year from last year. The performance level has kind of taken sort of a little bit of a dip, which I like. Just tell us stuff. You know, no need to, and he's not much of a talker. He's not very glossy about the way he kind of sells his team. He talks football, and I like that about him. So watch Shane Steichen and tell me that his rhetoric, the way he answers the question, doesn't kind of imbue you with a little bit of optimism as we look toward, we do this to ourselves, don't we? We always find reasons to be optimistic because that's what fans do. The players, I'm going to share an interview because I don't want to inundate you with a bunch of audio and video. Oh, you know, today we're not going to do a dump of like six videos. Who's got time to watch all that? We're going to do it once a day, 10 in the morning, tomorrow and Thursday, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you'll hear from all these guys. You'll hear from Michael Pittman Jr. and Dallas Flowers and DeForest Buckner and Zaire Franklin and, you know, and Ryan Kelly. We got guys. Friday, we're going to hear from Chris Ballard. He's going to speak to us on Friday about what his plans are with the draft, and we know he ain't going to tell us anything about what he's going to do, but we're going to talk about that a little bit here so you understand what he's going to do before he even tells us what he's going to do and then before he even does what he's going to do. All right, Ballard, betting on his own guys, that's appreciated by the team, I think sincerely. They like coming back, and they use the word family again and again and again and again today. All the guys are talking about family, how it was good to get the family back together. Everybody back in the room, the position group, it's a family. The offensive line, it's a family. The defense, it's a family. The D-line guys, they're a family. Here's the thing with family. You never want to let your family down. And that's what these guys talk about and talk about and talk about. They don't want to let their family down. And so they work hard during the offseason. And they do the things. Look, when you draft a bunch of guys who may be a little bit shorter on talent than some, but want to work really, really hard, you draft that diligence, that positive behavior, this is where it pays off. It pays off in the offseason during OTAs and minicamp and training camp where guys really go to work and try to become better. And my man, Jonathan Smith, age 24, already scorched earth on Ballard. Wonderful young man. Fire Chris Ballard, 1430, going to the moon. We love Jonathan Smith. He's awesome. Does a great job. 11 o'clock every single morning on 1430. Love him. However, this is the thing with Ballard. This is last chance saloon for Chris Ballard. It may not be for the Ursays, but it is with me, and it's likely that with you. They got a pony up. The Colts, they're coming back, lock, stock, and barrel. You got Anthony Richardson as your starting quarterback. I'm done with excuses. You're going to have a draft class where you're in the middle of this draft, right in the middle of the first round, second round, third round. That's where they are. This thing has got to come up roses. You can't go 9-8 again and call yourself a successful general manager. 8 seasons as GM, that's enough. You know what you got after 8 seasons, for the love of God, right? There's no more, well, this will be another year of same old, and Anthony Richardson developing. You can only sell that so far. It sells for this season. Next season, it doesn't sell, unless this season it pays off. That's fair, and that's legitimate. But there's a different level of confidence. It's interesting. There's a different feel. Like last year, there was a level of tension in the air. You got a new coach. You got new position coaches. Nobody knew what the hell was going on this year. Guys are very, very solidly aware of what they are doing, how they are doing it, who they're doing it with, and they understand the necessity to kind of have this year be the year where they move it up. Gary Moore says, we all know and understand Ballard is trading back. No, let's talk about that. All right, we got 9 days before the first round of the draft. Here's what it is. The odds on trading up or back are entirely dependent upon where the wide receivers and the corners are taken, along with Bowers. All right, we're going to count him as a receiver. If somehow Harrison, Bowers, Neighbors, Quinyon Mitchell, Adunze, and I mentioned Quinyon's first name because there's another Mitchell that might be, Adonai Mitchell is a wide receiver, might go in the first round. So I'm specific about that. Adunze, Thomas, Arnold, if they're all gone at 15, trading back becomes a pragmatic must. You might as well trade back. I don't think all those guys are going to be gone. So I think that Chris Ballard's going to take one of them. But here's the thing about trading up. If they've got a guy specifically that they're locked in on, and that guy falls far enough to make it pragmatically possible for them to put together a package of picks in this year and next year's draft to move up to take that guy, they'll do it. If they're looking at a specific guy, that is not generally the way Chris Ballard does business. It's not the way he works a draft. He does not lock in on a guy, despite what he tells you. You know, with Anthony Richardson, he was our guy all along. Of course, they always say he was our guy. Rocky Sin was our guy. Then he fell to 34. My God, are you kidding? That's, or 33, whatever it was. It's a miracle, miracle of miracles. We know that's a bunch of crap. We understand that. That's the kind of thing you got to say. This, if one of those seven guys falls to 15, they're going to take him. If they're locked in on one, which is unlikely, they're going to move up at the point where it makes pragmatic sense. There you go. I think trading back, I think they take one of those seven, to tell you the truth, and that's about a 2-to-1 shot, 2.5-to-1. I'm going with trading back. And then, you know what, trading up, I got a real long shot. And trading out, I don't know, that's an even longer shot, I think, because this is a year you can go get it done a little bit. You might be one player away, whether it's a cornerback or whether it's a wide receiver. That's up to you. And don't discount, even though they went out and they got Raekwon Davis, don't discount for a minute that they couldn't go in and take a defensive tackle. He is absolutely, Chris Ballard is absolutely crazy about, hey, we got to build from the inside out. He is very serious when he talks about doing that. He said it's going to be on his gravestone. So there you go. Gary Moore, would you trade up for Bowers? It depends on who else is on the board. I would not trade up for Bowers. Bowers would not be the guy that I got my eye on. I would not be locked in on Brock Bowers. Now, Malik Neighbors, that's a different thing. I'd kind of like to lock in on Malik Neighbors. If he goes early, then Rome Odunze. I kind of like Rome Odunze because he's sort of redundant to Pittman. And I like that. The reason I don't like really fast wide receivers, and by really fast, I mean like the 4-2-1, right? Worthy with his 4-2-1, my God. I don't like that because if you're a quarterback, you got to throw it different depths to different receivers based on who you throw it to. You got a 4-5 wide receiver, you got a 4-2 wide receiver. That's like the difference between Michael Pittman at 4-5 and like Quentin Nelson at you know, or somebody who's running a 4-8. That's the difference. So you know, okay, who am I throwing it to? How far do I have to lead him? I don't need a guy to ask those questions. I'd like a guy to be able to say, just feel it. I'm going there, boom, without even looking at the number. I'd like that. All right, it's going to be interesting, though. These next 9 days are going to be just fascinating, but moving up does not sound, does it, like a Chris Ballard play. I would not move up for Bowers. I would take him at 15, but I would not move up. Neighbors, like I said, that's different. Adunze, that's different. Harrison, he isn't going to be in the game. He isn't going to be at a level where you can trade up and go get him. I'm not taking Alt. I'm not taking Turner. I'm not doing any of that kind of crazy crap where I'm letting the board talk to me and we got Dallas Turner at 8 and somehow he drops to 15. I'm not doing it. We don't need an edge. I'm okay with Kwity Paye and Dio Odangbo and Samson Ekobom. I'm okay with those guys. And Tyquan Lewis, you're okay. Pay Lewis, Hurricane Dio, and Ekebom, I'm cool at edge. And you can exercise that fifth year option on pay if you like at about $13 million a year. That's okay. I don't mind that. I think pay is going to be better this year. We're going to see. I think he's developing. All right, Umar Ballo. He's coming to, he came to Bloomington, and Mike Woodson didn't let him leave. Smart. It's like a casino. If you go to Vegas and a guy hits big, guy wins $3 million, he didn't get on a plane without a fight from the casino owners. They're going to make sure that the casino host puts her arm around him and says, hey, you know what? Why don't I show you a good time? Come on, let's go. And by God, that guy's going to give most, if not all, of that $3 million back to the casino. That's what Mike Woodson. Okay, Umar, you're not ready to commit yet. All right, let me show you over here where we have players have a great time over here. You know what? And maybe we freshen the pot a little bit. That's fine. You ready? All right, you commit. You can get on the plane. That's what Mike Woodson did. And Umar Ballo is coming. He is a top-ranked transfer in the portal, 7 feet tall, 260 pounds, 13-10 last year at Arizona. Indiana is going to be his third stop. He started his collegiate career at Gonzaga. He is joined, as we all know, by Rice. And so Rice, Miles Rice, is a 15-point-a-game scorer at the point, kind of a combo guard guy. And then you've got Kenan Carlisle, who's going to come in this weekend and is projected to commit to Indiana. If you get those three guys, all from the former Pac-12, to commit to Indiana, you add them to Renew, Mbako, Galloway, Cups, Leal, Jakay Newton, and the freshman, right? That's pretty good eight. I'm okay with that, or nine. And Carlisle, I guess, would be nine, or maybe he'd be 10. You got a pretty good 10. I don't know. Are they going to be able to gel together? Are they going to be able to play together? Does it mean more wins? Hell, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, but it sure as hell is more fun talking about good basketball players who we know to be good basketball players coming to Bloomington than it is to say, geez, I hope this guy, I hope Gabe Cupps can add 15 pounds and learn how to shoot threes at a higher level. I'm much more comfortable with this. This makes the offseason more fun, and this is what we look for as Indiana fans. We look for a reason to hope. That's what we hope. And then we evaluate during the season. And if during the season it becomes clear that this team cannot win because Mike Woodson cannot coach, it's ta-ta-ta-tell. It is adios to Mike Woodson. This is Last Chance Saloon. So spend the money wisely, and I don't mind spending the money, NIL money. Go ahead, buy players. That's the game. If you're going to play in the Big Ten and you're not going to spend NIL money, collect and spend NIL money via the collectives or however it's done procedurally to keep the schools kind of hands clean of the whole thing, you know what? You're not going to win unless you got something right. And even at Purdue, I think, of course, they're getting paid. For God's sake, why wouldn't they? Mason Gillis visiting Duke. What? That doesn't make any sense. You know what? When you've got Big Ten guys who transfer to another conference, Dan Dockich calls it the Thick Ankle League. He quotes an ESPN producer, called the Big Ten the Thick Ankle League. You get a thick ankle guy like Mason Gillis at Duke, that is not going to work out well for Mason Gillis or Duke. That's just the way it works. Indiana, though, getting Umar Ballo, it's a reason for optimism, and that's what we look for. We will talk to you tomorrow morning. I cannot wait for tomorrow morning, 6:40 in the morning. It's Optimism Wednesday, and there are reasons for optimism, and that pleases us. Have a great night. Enjoy yourself. Get up early. You will hear, we may do bells. Kind of forgot about the bells today. I had to go get them off the shelf and ring them like hell. People say it wakes their families. You know what? 6:40 in the morning. Get your ass up and live a good and full life. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.